accession number 18250, Reel 6.
And she was 10 just behind, and I heard him say, "Never mind about the bloody shells dropping in among us. If you don't drop them in among us, the bloody jelly will be in among us."
Oh.
He called. He
must fire, have given on your own positions.
Well, he must have called them to call them down that close, and he must have got the answer. Mm. You'd be right on your map reference, you'll be in among them. Mm. And that's all I heard. I don't know what he said to start with, because he used to call for a map reference, he said.
Yeah.
And then down 50. Down 50. Mm. And when he said this last down 50,
the
butcher said, "That'll be in, among your own position." Mm. And I heard him say myself, "If you don't, get them in among us, the bloody jerry will be." We were dug in like, you know, we had a bit of. But they would be dropping where my car's parked.
Just there, oh goodness
gracious.
So this, well, where your car's parked now is about 10 yards outside the front door, isn't it?
And there was a trench in front of me.
Yeah.
Because I was covering the road, I was on angle like that, they were there.
Yeah.
I was covering the road. Mm. And at times, they were having to get down while I fired over at top of them. Because they'd shout.
Mm.
"Hey, Bob, I can see you."
Yeah.
And they were looking that way, you see. I was looking up road.
Mm.
They'd say, "Get your bloody heads down," and I'd give them a bit of a spray that way.
Mm.
For 6 hours. It's a long way, they had to pull me out of the trench.
Mm.
My feet had gone that far down, and my knees had gone into the side of the trench. I couldn't see my legs.
Yeah.
Never moved.
Well, I don't know. I would think, I don't know what happens in a situation like that, but I imagine that.
We couldn't have run away, because I think we were that far bogged in.
Yeah. But I imagine as well, there's not time, again, coming back to being frightened. You can't be frightened in a situation like that. You're so busy, I suppose, doing what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's no time for that, is there?
No.
But after when you think about it, I suppose that's when you probably start to shake a bit and think, oh, goodness, what's happened here? Look what's gone on.
Aye.
But at the time, so what did they do? They just gave up in the end, or just?
Well, we just repulsed them.
You just drove them off.
Well, we just repulsed them. After all,
yeah, yeah.
You know, as much as that, we just stopped them.
Mm.
And then after that, they just said to ease up. You know, the resistance wasn't as bad.
Right. Well, not as bad. That was the worst time.
No, I say like after that, the resistance tried to ease up. There were just little pockets here and there. And then we swung.
Yeah, you did.
We turned.
You turned south towards Askerton, toward the corner of the forest.
Yeah. That was it. It must have been round about there.
Yeah. Well, where this action was.
Where we were held up.
Oh, well, that's the place called Nearswald, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
And we turned that way.
Well, that was pretty near the edge of the forest there.
Yeah, it was. It was nearly at the outskirts.
Oh, well, that'll be it then.
And then we turned.
Yeah.
And had to come. We come back down, and then we went into Ockwald.
Yeah. Ockwald. Well, it might not be on there. This place, Ockwald, might not be on there. But I know that that's where you were on this edge, the corner of the forest, near to this place called Asperden.
Yeah, and then Gok.
Which is where
then we went into Gok.
Yeah.
And all we went into Gok because we leaved the Scottish.
Yeah, well, what you did before you went into Gok, you, so the Reichwald took you through to about the 17th of February, because you were down here in the south, on this corner of the forest, for about 4 days.
Yeah. Well, that's perhaps when we went into Ockwald.
Could be.
That's
what they call Ockwald. But maybe, but before that, or rather just after that on the 17th, you went up to this place, H-A-H-A-U, Hale, or something, and then you spent a day up there before you went back to somewhere, 18th of February, back to Nijmegen.
Oh, yeah. We pulled back there.
Yeah.
As usual.
Yeah.
Get washed, shaved, cleaned up.
That's it. Yeah.
That's what we were in a barn again, as usual.
Yeah.
In a barn, and
that's
we got
right.
a meal.
That's right.
Hot meat.
And it was, and when you in fact went into Gok, when you went into Gok was when you came back into the line after your R&R in Nijmegen.
Yeah.
That's when you went back into Gok before you did Wheels.
Yes.
But I mean, but that whole situation there in the Reichswald, that must have been certainly the bit you've just spoken about. That it must have been quite frightening. Well, I would guess that at the time.
Well, I know when they went back, I missed that. I was, as soon as we come out at Reichswald, I was sent on a div NCO scores.
Mm.
When they come back, we went to Gok, and then we crossed Rhine. I don't know. We had tanks with us.
Yeah, so after you left the Reichswald then, Bob, you went back to Nijmegen for some R&R, and then about the 23rd of February, you left Nijmegen again, something like 23rd sort of time, and you came down to Gok, where you got there about the 28th of February, where you got off your, what do you call them, TCVs. And then you started to make your way down toward Wies for an attack on Wies and through. Got any thoughts on that one?
Well, as I say, I remember the paratroops round, and we were on the outskirts of Wies, if I remember rightly at the time, with some tanks with it, and one or two got knocked out. And some it was only tracks, you know, what they used to. Debouch and get out. And they didn't never stop long with yours.
No, well, that's too dangerous.
They used to let us get through them, and then they used to stop and make their way back. And I remember there was one particular farmhouse there, and they were fighting like hell, but you know, trying to get it. Mortars. 88 firing from the side. That's what they'd done these tanks in. And as soon as we got right on top of them,
get themselves out.
Hands up.
Fought
right till you nearly went in.
And were they
in farmyard?
Right. You know? And were they have been paratroopers at that stage?
But as I say, that was a wooded area. It must have been all wooded areas out there.
Well, you know, the book sells, you know. I think they called the 53rd Division the Woodland Division or something at one time, didn't they? Probably because of going through a lot of wooded areas, was it?
And all the way along.
What about the houses? And I mean, there's this thing here in the book about the German houses putting out white flags and so on when they saw you coming, or something, weren't they? To make sure, I guess, they're protecting their property, trying to.
But you still had to go in and make sure there was none in cellar.
Because they all had cellars, that's right.
Nearly all had cellars, nearly all continental houses had cellars. If you were weeding dollars after houses to clear. You know, if you were moving it through, the tax somewhere else, well, somebody else did it. But if you were stopping it, but you always had to make sure your cellars were clear. But it was no good otherwise. Kept away and kept away.
Because they fortified some of these farmhouses as well, didn't they? Made those like sort of strongholds, didn't they?
This one was saying what I was telling you about. And they come up at Finney. But by them they were laying some fire down until we got there.
And where was that? That was on the way around Wies?
Somewhere around Wies. I know there were a lot of paratroops.
Yeah, because I know you didn't go actually through Wies.
No, we were on the outskirts.
On the edges of Wies.
We were on the outskirts,
I think maybe one of your other battalions went through there, like brigades rather. I think maybe 71st Brigade might have gone through there.
Yeah, could have been.
Through there, through Wies itself.
Or it might have been same as Gok, it might have been flat.
Yeah, it could have been.
You know, nearly all these here. He was flattening them with the Oryx.
Yes.
It was either flatten them and save lives or.
Yeah.
And it was.
Or save the towns and possibly lose a lot of lives.
That's what it was.
Mm.
So. And I say, they all the way right up to Rhine. It was bad fighting all the time.
You don't remember anything about this just before you went into Geldern with these Americans that you met up with there?
We were going along a road. They were coming the other way.
I think they were coming from the south.
I think they would be coming one way, we'll say that way, and we were coming that way.
Something like that, yeah.
And we saw these stamps.
Yeah.
And they were blacks. I remember right, they were all blacks.
They were blacks, apparently, yeah. They were
a little black face.
Yeah, yeah.
Out.
Yeah.
And there was a bit of some fired and you know, black, what is it, went out. And
yeah.
You saw a black face. And
yeah. They recognised your lot.
Well,
as being
it was
friendly.
Either that or we recognised them.
Yeah.
I know there was some firing.
Yeah.
But if I remember right, it was Shanks.
Yeah.
They did fire in.
Yeah.
One
yeah.
of their
yeah.
tanks.
Yeah.
But the front ones, they didn't fire. The one that this big black beaming face, you know, under.
It was the ones behind that fired.
Yeah, it was some one from behind, I think.
Yeah. But you remember this big black beaming face?
Yeah, yes, this black face. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know there were blacks, definitely blacks.
Yeah.
We met up with him. I can remember that.
Yeah. But just prior to going actually through Geldon, your company, I think, took this little village area called Viet. Well, took it.
Yeah.
It was house clearing, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And you were there in the evening of the 4th of March, somewhere around that time. But that was just sort of house clearing.
Well, it was house clearing. There were a few Germans in.
Yeah.
That's where Rarely Pistol used to come in handy.
Very pistol with a light, you mean?
Yeah, fire it through, you could aim it and fire it through a window.
Yeah.
And anybody inside, it made them take notice.
Yeah, they get up.
Well, it just frightened them, it startled
them. Oh,
the
move, yeah.
Startled them while you come through the door.
Oh, I see, yes, yeah, right.
Instead of throwing a bomb in.
Yeah.
Because you could throw a bomb if you miss window and it bounced back, it didn't come to you, didn't it?
Yeah.
It'd be really near.
Yeah.
But you could fire a Rarely pistol.
Yeah, but you didn't normally carry one of those, did you?
No, but officer did.
Oh, I see.
Officer used to.
Yeah.
You know, if you were a bit doubtful.
Yeah.
Perhaps you'd had some fire from up that street.
Yeah.
And you thought, well, now which house is here? And it seemed to be about 3,000 or 4,000.
Right.
When you come to it.
Yeah.
If you're officer, if you, you know, any bottle at all, fire a Rarely pistol through front door, through front window.
That's right.
Well, you were ready to come in.
Yeah.
You made them unprepared.
Yeah, that makes sense. Puts them off their mettle, doesn't it? A bit,
yeah,
I suppose. That,
well, then you're usually a red one.
Yeah.
Not a white, and a red one.
Oh, right. I suppose it would have hurt them as well if it hit them.
It would have
it?
Burned them.
It's phosphorus, that stuff, isn't
it? Well, yeah, but it burns out quick. I don't know what it is. It's, what they call it. It has a name. It's like a metal that burns.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know the one, but I can't think what it's called. But I know the one. It's like soft, isn't it?
Eh? It's soft. But it'll burn.
Yeah.
Usually a white flame, but they can colour it.
Yeah.
Use it on all these flares.
Yeah. Well, the word...
Magnesium. They're magnesium bulbs.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were coloured. Yeah. I don't know what they put in them. Crystals, I think, to colour them.
Yeah, possibly.
It was red, white and grey.
Yeah. So you used those for...
Yeah, Toffees did, yeah. That was clearing.
Sounds good. So then you've made your way through Geldon.
Yeah.
I think there were a couple of bridges down or something through there, but you got through your way through Geldon along a road toward Isham. Yeah. You made a bit of a detour before that, into the, for some reason. You went into the sort of wooded area again, I think, just south of Isham.
You were always doing that because a report would come that... troops or tanks had been seen.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
There might have been aircraft photographed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some artillery.
Yeah.
Round there.
Yeah.
Because if you got any reports, they just had to go, you know.
That's right.
The battalion was sent.
Davy,
it depended how big it was.
Yeah, so having done that, you finished up going through what was left of Isham, I suppose, and finished up in a village called Pottershof, where there was 2 or 3 days of fairly heavy fighting, I think, on and off down there, until that was it for a while, because from there then you went back to... Oh, there's Hochwald. Yes, there's a place called Hochwald there. That's probably the place you're thinking of then, when you mentioned Hochwald.
I said Hoch, didn't I?
Yeah, well, it's Hochwald Forest there, isn't it?
Hochwald. But the wall is a forest.
Yeah. Oh, I see, right. So that's the place then, isn't it?
And I got a bit of shrapnel. It went through me jerkin. Jumper, everything you can mention. And there was a blotch of blood like that on my vest. And when I went down demo, I looked, he said, I can't see where it's gone. I said, well, it's gone somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's inside me somewhere.
Yeah.
And I can't see where it's entered, he said. I said, well, how did you get up blood? He just come with a bit of that clay gene.
Yeah.
And I clawed him a bit over. He said, it gives you any trouble, come back.
And is it?
I don't know.
Oh, you've not noticed anything
since? Oh, yeah, yeah. For a while when I come out of the army.
You did?
And it was this.
Yeah, yeah.
This shoulder.
Yeah.
And at one time, I had a job to lift my arm up.
All right. Have you had an x-ray?
No.
So you don't know whether there's anything there or not?
I never bothered.
Yeah.
After a week or so, it got all right.
Yeah.
I was working at the time, I was at home, I couldn't be bothered. Yeah,
that's right. Oh, so that's where you got the shrapnel bit that you were talking about.
I said Hopwold, yeah.
Yeah, well, you've got your name right, and there are two Hopwolds, and this is Hopwold by Potterdorf.
Yeah.
That's right. And which is where there was a bit of fighting.
Yeah.
Quite heavy fighting.
Yeah, and there were
two or three
parachutes
there. The parachutes there.
That was the one in the farm.
Yeah.
In the farm.
Right.
I said Hopwold, and there was some of our tanks. An anti-tank gun, 88, not two of them out that I know.
Right.
One, they got out of it, they got out the tank, and the only thing that it had done, it had caught the top, and they used to have a sheet, a big, like a wagon sheet.
Yeah.
Got back, and that's all it had done, it had blown the wagon sheet up.
What do you mean a wagon sheet? Like to cover the thing up, or what was this
thing?
Well,
I don't know. They think they used to put it down, you know.
Oh, I see.
Whether to cover itself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When they were stationed.
Make a bivouac, they call it. Yeah,
it was like a wagon sheet.
Yeah.
And it was rolled up on back.
Right.
And that's all it had gone through.
Oh.
To blown that up.
Oh.
It was still there. There wasn't a thing wrong with it.
Yeah.
But they'd all debossed.
Yeah.
Well, tap ballers had come out. They'd seen one go up.
Yeah. Yeah, mind you,
they bounced out.
in your journeys through there so far, you must have seen some tanks go up. You've heard people talk about them. It must be a horrendous thing, mustn't it? Because
they're not wanting it. They're not.
That, when that solid shot goes through there, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's because it doesn't explode, solid shot, does it? It just goes through, pierces the armour, and goes through, and just it's got nowhere else to go to. So all that energy. That shell has got by going through there.
Yeah.
Got to go somewhere, so it just goes around the inside.
Well, it either goes around the inside or it stops.
Or it
depends
stops.
How thick the armor is, you know, how much how far it's been fired away, how much energy has been used.
Yeah. There was a chap on one of these TV programs, it was a parson, I think, or somebody, and his job, that's what he had to do, to go around identifying people during the war. Identifying the dead, and he was saying that he'd been into a number of tanks where when he'd been in there, all he found was just, it was sort of mincemeat really, basically what he found.
Yeah.
And that's all. Nothing else.
No.
Which was, it must be horrendous. So
a lot used to fire.
Yeah, set
fire.
They used to call them Ronsons or something, Sherman, as they called
Tommy
Ronsons,
burners.
Didn't they? Tommy Burners.
Tommy Burners, you used to call them, Tommy Burners.
Tommy Burners.
Yeah.
I've heard the term Ronsons as well, lighters, Ronsons.
Yeah. Brew up.
Yeah.
You used to call them kettles.
Yeah.
A quick brew.
Yeah, so you can understand, you know,
I could understand guys
getting out of there, can't you? Saying, sort of that sort
of
thing. And getting out of it.
Yeah.
So at Potterdorf in early March, that was the end of the action, really. To the west of the Rhine.
To
the west of the Rhine. Because then the Germans basically were cleared out west of the Rhine, and the next step was going to be across the Rhine.
Crossing,
Okay, so you left Potterdorf and basically via Lullingdon, you went back for a while and spent some time in Brussels, but you didn't actually go there. You went somewhere else, didn't you?
I went to training.
Yeah.
Divensios training school.
Yeah, with the view to what? What do they want to do to you then?
Medmen for corporal.
Right.
Myself and Puggy Matthews. Right. We neither of us wanted stripes.
Yeah.
Puggy was a regular soldier, ex-Indian lad.
Right.
He was still a private.
Right.
He didn't want any stripes.
Why didn't they make up to a corporal, not a lance? Is it a lance corporal before that?
No, a corporal.
Corporal straight away.
Never had one stripe.
Right.
And Puggy never had one stripe.
Right.
And it was said to you, called us in. That would be when we're having that rest after Potter's off or whatever.
Setri, this is Major. This is Major.
Yeah, it was Major Setri then.
And how did he fit in with you?
A Company commander.
Right.
Yeah. He took over when Griffin left.
So when would he have taken over A Company then? Roughly.
It was after Den Bosch. I think we were on to Mars.
Den Bosch, yeah.
On the Mars.
Yeah. But he'd come over with the...
Oh, he landed with B Company,
yeah.
Yeah, he was ex-Dunkirk for that.
Oh, right.
MC at Dunkirk.
Right. So what about this? So then this is the stage now coming up to after Brussels and your sort of training for corporal.
Yeah.
You came up ready to cross the Rhine.
Yeah, I joined them.
Possibly in this place here, which was...
Back from Belgium. I might have joined here.
Yeah.
Might have joined here.
Yeah, which was near Cavalier.
Yeah. I think I must have joined there because we went back to Britannia. I never went anywhere near Brussels.
No. Oh, right,
yeah. No.
Well, they were there for a while, so I guess you must have missed some good times there, because they must have had some good times in Brussels.
Well, it was a 10-day course, whatever.
Yeah.
Might even have been at 12, I don't know.
Yeah.
And here, when we went here, they heard me talking about the big, the 7.2s and 9.2s.
Mm.
They were in the field right behind the farmhouse where we were.
Mm.
And you could see, well, when you looked at the battle of them, you'd have thought it was a tunnel. 9.0, you know.
This was the British Royal Artillery.
Oh, yeah.
Guns
firing
over the Rhine in preparation
massive.
For. Well, no, I think some had already gone across by the time you went across the Rhine. I think the Rhine had been crossed.
It was crossed.
Yeah.
At the night as we moved next day.
Got it. Yeah.
We went across on the.
Yeah.
On the pontoon.
Yeah.
Pontoon bridge again.
Yeah. Well, you went across on the 26th, didn't you? You got here on the 26th.
Yeah.
So that must have been crossed on sort of the night of the 25th or something.
I would think so.
Yeah. But prior.
I thought we were there.
Yeah.
When they were firing.
You might well have been.
When they were firing these big guns ready for crossing.
You might well have been.
Because there was a hell of a barrage.
Because when I got here, 26th of the 3rd, that may have been 1 o'clock in the morning of the 26th of the 3rd. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it could have been.
As they were crossing then,
Yes, the crossing. We went next day.
Yeah, so it could have been that.
Yeah, I know we crossed the next day.
Yeah.
But they had a bridge. There was a pontoon.
Yeah. But weren't there lots of gliders going over at one time, weren't there?
Yeah, they dropped.
For the landing on the other side?
Six airborne.
Yeah. You must have seen possibly those going over.
They were going over at night, we could hear them.
Yeah.
I think they dropped at night.
Probably gave you a lot of confidence, I would think, that, didn't it?
Well, they've got a bridge across. That was a lot of confidence for us.
Yeah.
We knew that somebody was stood aside to receive us.
Oh, that's not good. Oh, because they put the bridge up on the other side.
Well, what is it they didn't it? The engineers, they would work from both sides, wouldn't they?
I guess so, meet in the middle.
They work from both, I would think so anyway. Yeah.
That's right, so you went over the bridge, but I guess that was just going over a bridge. Could have been any bridge anywhere, really, but you were crossing the Rhine.
Oh, there was, you could hear plenty of stuff going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And you fired in, because they weren't so far away.
That's right. Yeah, and then you went up through, you were on foot at this stage, and you went up through to a place called Hamiel Kiln, where there were lots of gliders, because that was one of the glider landing area.
Yeah.
And then you really started getting into some problems up here around Dingdon.
Yeah, after gliders and parachutes.
Yeah. Because you had to, I think the object then was you had to go through and take this village of Dingdon and then go up to... to support the rest of probably your division or other divisions around Bocholt, which was here.
Yeah.
You said there was a lot of shelling around Bocholt, Bob, didn't you?
Yeah. And when they crossed around, you know, it was the same as Rice, the big bandages going on.
Yeah.
Make hell of a noise, you know.
Yeah. Is that where, I don't know what your hearing's like, it seems to be all right, but one or two of the other chaps, you know, their hearing's bad.
Mine's not good, like. I hear better than out of one ear than two.
All right.
If there's anything going on over there, I can't hear.
Yeah, right.
Anything between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was Bocholt. So after Bocholt, what did you do? I think it looks as though you went back into some buses then at that stage. Once you got across, the fighting had finished there. I think you got back into some buses, yeah? And it took you to a harbour area around a Dutch town called Winterswijk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Which was now around the end of March. And we're right here for time. When were you here? Yeah, that took you to the 30th of March. So, Winterswijk, you were here at that time. I think when you got to this place, the Dutch were rounding up some collaborators there.
Yeah.
Shaving the heads and things and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The women. Yeah?
Yeah.
Something like that.
You met Dr. Diffuse Potts.
I'm sure that's right. Yeah. And then you just kept going, but it looks a bit so by that
Probably
time.
Did, yeah.
So that time it seems you started to motor on a bit.
Well, we went to
Okay, so you're still travelling in vehicles from Winterswijk.
Yeah.
And you're coming up GGV. Towards Enschede.
Yeah, we'd be following tanks.
Following tanks.
Wrecky vehicles, we'd be following an armoured vehicle, I would think.
Yeah, and you're really on the Dutch German border there,
aren't
you?
One's at one side, the other's the other.
Yeah, and the town across the border on the Dutch side is Glanebrug, and on the German side it's Gronau.
Yeah, in Enschede, that's the big
close to a town called Enschede in Holland, yeah?
Yeah, that's the big one.
So, what happened when you went into Glanebrug, Bob? Any recollections of that one?
Not, there weren't really a lot of firing, there was. Normal skirmishes.
Yeah, I mean, you were the first, I think you were the first people in there, weren't you? So I guess there wasn't much going on there.
Everybody was wanting cigarettes, as usual.
Yeah. Smoke or cigarettes or food, I suppose, and bits of things.
They were looking for food at the time.
Yeah. And then you, from going to that side to Glanebrug, you turned round and went back into Germany, across to Gronau.
Yeah, went into Gronau. We went there.